out there that are in it for perhaps wrong reasons. Your pastor is in it because he loves Jesus first and foremost. And he loves you. And for those of you who are visitors coming, I'm not an evangelist. I love Jesus. I love sharing the gospel. I've been pastor my first church 29 years ago. So you're not getting an evangelist. But what I'm hoping and praying today that you'll receive is the Word of God. And I stand before you as I did my congregation in fear and trembling, as I realize that I will be held accountable one day for standing before you and preaching the Word of God. And so I pray that my words will be His words. And secondly, I ask you to start praying right now. Lord, make us receptive to not Rob Jackson's words, but to the Word of God. This is not an easy sermon. So if you're looking for something that's going to make you laugh and have a good time, this is not the sermon. We're going to talk about sin in the camp. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. As you're turning there, we've been praying for revival. There is no revival without repentance. You study throughout church history. The revival begins with prayer, but also repentance. And so we've been praying, and I pray and ask God, if we need repentance in our lives, would you help us? Now, let me share with you just a little backdrop. Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. They went to the walls of Jericho. They marched around following God's command. The seventh day, seven times, blew the horn. The walls fell down, and they had the victory. And they all of a sudden, they said, wow, this is good. Look what we got. Then there was a little eye. It was a little bit of town. They scouted out and said, don't send everybody. Send about 3,000 people. We don't need many people at all. So, okay, take 3,000 people. They went. They were expecting an onslaught. They were expecting the name of God, Yahweh, to be so powerful as before. And yet, they were defeated. 36 young men lost their lives. They ran. They came back. And Joshua says, why have we been defeated? And he tears his robe. He falls on his face. And then God said, get up. Get up. Now look at verse 10, 7. Chapter 7, verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them under their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among me. So they drew lots, and the lot came on one man, Achan. So verse 19, pick back up. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent the messengers, and they ran the tent, and behold, it was hidden in the tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua, to all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord, and Joshua and all of Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the cloak, and the bar of gold, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen and donkeys and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them up out of the valley to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all of Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them, that's the family and everyone, with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones that remains this day. Then the Lord returned from his burning anger. Therefore, this is the day the name of the place is called the Valley of Achor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What was the problem? Why was there no victory? Because there was sin in the camp. As I look at the United States of America, I can see that there's sin in the camp. Who of us are not brokenhearted over New York City, New York and Virginia? They now legally can kill babies that are either just being born or have just been born. God is not mocked. And unless our country returns back to Him, I fear for the wrath of God upon our country. There's sin in the camp. And we can all say amen to that, but let's look more closely. Because a lot of them are not Christian. There's sin in the professing Christian camp. I think of Catholics. 800 priests have been charged and been removed because in the last few years, sexual misconduct. And then if you follow yesterday, the highest ranking cardinal in the U.S. He was a globetrotter around the world. He was defrocked by the Pope for breaking the sixth commandment. He was having relations with young seminary students. And also, he was having relations with underage kids. One guy, 18 years of abuse, a boy, and he wrote and said, my innocence was taken away. I never gained it again. Oh, God, his heart's broken. There's sin in the camp. But you say, wait a second. Those are non-Christians. Those are Catholics. We're not Catholic. There's sin in the Southern Baptist camp. If you've been following the last couple of weeks, and my heart is so heavy, 380 Southern Baptist leaders, whether it be lay leaders or leaders in our country in a sting, they committed sins against seven hundred children. Some even in Alabama. There's sin in the camp. But we can say, well, thanks be to God, our leaders have not done that. Yes, but I'm here today to let you know Crawford Baptist Church, there's sin in this camp. And until the Holy Spirit breaks us, until we repent of that sin in our camp, then we cannot see revival here. And if we don't see revival here, then how we see revival in our state? And if we don't see revival in our state and Southern Baptists here, how we see it in our nation? If we don't see revival in our nation, how are we going to see it worldwide in a global awakening? There's sin in the camp. And the first thing, if you're taking notes, there are three lies I want to see that Satan tells us. Number one, the first lie is that no one will find out. You can hide it. Isn't that what Achan did? He hid it. Now, I love the way that God reveals clearly what the pathway we take. What did he do? First of all, he saw. He didn't just glance. We talked about this last night. He didn't just glance. He began to look on it. How do I know? Because it said he saw it. Not a glance, but the word used there is he began to look on it. Oh, that sin of taking that looked so good. But he did more than that. He touched it. How do I know he touched it? But look at there. It says in verse 21. I saw a cloak and 200 shekels of silver. Now, how would he know that was 200 shekels of silver? He had to count it. How would he know the gold weighed 50 shekels? He had to hold it. You see, that's what we do. We first begin to look. We then begin to gaze. We then to take it in our lives. And then we want to hide it. And Satan tells a lie. No one will ever find out. How did they find out? No one knew about it, but Achan Oh, but God knew about it. And Christian, the sin that you are doing and I'm doing in secret, God brings it to light. There's sin in the camp. You say, wait a second, I don't have sin in my camp. Well, let's just look at a few things that God laid on my heart. Grumbling. There's some here who have the sin of grumbling. Well, God doesn't care about grumbling. Look back in the Old Testament. There are people who are grumblers. Bitterness. You're holding that cancer within, and you're bitter towards someone. You're bitter toward a group of people. And that bitterness is sin. Let's get rid of sin in the camp. What about prejudices? Why? It pops up at unexpected times. But there are people in here today that you have a prejudice. And we need to get rid of sin in the camp. What about anger? Uncontrollable anger that boils up within you. That's sin in the camp. What about lukewarmness? Is there anyone in here who is not sold out passion for God? Oh, you come to church. You go and do something. You go to community groups. But your life is far. You're lukewarm. And what did Jesus Christ say about people who are lukewarm? Neither hot nor cold. He's going to spew you out of his mouth. There is sin in the camp at Crawford Baptist Church. What about lying? Lying on your income tax. What about lust? Men and women, young people, being inflamed with lust. What about gluttony? I'm not just talking about food, but I'm talking about gluttony. It's indulgence of things. What about a gluttony of indulgence where you're addicted to Facebook or social media or your iPhone? Or your video game. Or Fox News. Gluttony. And we aren't focusing on Jesus Christ because we have a gluttony. What about impure thoughts? There's some people in here when you're all alone and no one's around that the thoughts that pop in your head are impure. And you keep dwelling on those thoughts. What about cheating and stealing? Perhaps there's some here today that you cheat. You have unethical practices in business. You call it just cutting corners. God calls it sin in the camp. What about rebellion to authority? Sometimes we rebel. Women rebel to the spiritual authority over you that God's given to you. We rebel against church authority. Young people, we rebel against our parents. We rebel against the authority, and we talk about the authority, even the United States of America. It's a rebellious spirit. It's a spirit of Jezebel. And God calls it sin in the camp. What about gossiping? There's probably not many of us that could stand here not guilty of this. There was a lady at college when I was at Samford University, and I found out some juicy details about one of the professors at Samford University, and I couldn't wait to tell her. Oh, I could not wait. I said, oh, Ann, let me tell you about Dr. I'm not going to mention his name. He's dead now. Dr. So-and-so. Did you know that something's going on? She said, Paul's right there, Robbie. She says, does this edify him? Well, no. Does this bring glory and honor to God? Well, no. Is this something I can do? Don't disguise it, just praying for him. Is it something I can do? No. She said, well, I don't need to hear it. It's gossip. And I said, don't you want to know? She said, of course I want to know, but it's gossip. And some of us are burying that gossip. We always, what do? We care about the person, and we're just trying to help the person out. But in reality, it's a sin in our lives, and we need to rid their sin in the camp. What about greed or coveting? Envy. Pride. Lack of forgiveness. Oh, we can hide those things we think. Satan tells you to hide it. But we've got this anger and lack of forgiveness of someone who's wronged us. And even as we speak, I pray that God's going to bring that person to your mind. But you see, the scripture says if we don't forgive others, then we're not forgiven. Pornography, immorality. There's some in this room right now who have the secret sin of pornography. And you're looking on your iPhone or your computer when your family's gone to bed. It must not remain. For you see, you think and Satan tells you that nobody will find out. But we see from Achan, it's always found out. Listen to Isaiah 1:15 through 17. But it says this, that God will not hear your prayers if you cherish sin in your life. So the first lie, no one will find out. The second lie Satan tells us is that sin's not costly. You tell that to the Israelites. Was it not costly to those 36 mothers who lost their sons in battle? Was that not costly? Was it not costly to 36 that were married to their spouses and their children? Who waited for their daddy to come home and they didn't come home. Don't tell me that sin is not costly. Don't tell Israel sin is not costly. Didn't it cost them the battle, the victory on that day? Didn't it cost them the name of God Almighty? Because the people of Ai said, who is this great God? And so it defamed the name of the living God. Don't tell Israel that sin is not costly. Don't tell Achan that sin is not costly. It cost him his reputation in the community. It cost him all his worldly goods. It cost him his spouse and his children. It cost him his very life. You see, sin is very costly. Sin is costly to so many people I could mention. I'll mention one. It was a friend of Tiny's of mine. It was at a church we worked in years ago. Her husband was a well-known, respected Christian physician. And he was a deacon in the church. He was a Sunday school teacher and gave generously. And yet it came out eventually because he thought it was hidden. It came to light that he had been carrying on an affair with a young lady for years. And as Tanya and I sat, her name was Joy, sat beside Joy. I remember looking over, tears streaming down her cheek as he left her for a young woman. And I thought, wow, don't tell Joy, sin's not costly. Don't tell this doctor sin's not costly because he lost his reputation in the community. And the two girls were sitting with her. They were both young married ladies at the time. And Tanya whispered, don't tell them it's not costly, because now they're going to their husbands. Will you leave me when I get old? Will you go look for someone 30 years younger than you when I get old? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, do not listen to the lie of Satan. It will be found out. It will not be hidden. And the sin is very, very costly. But a third lie he has for each of us. There's nothing that can be done about it. We get so into our sin that we think, what can be done about it? I'm caught between a rock and a hard place in my sin. What could be done about it? What did they do to Achan, to remedy the sin? They stoned him to death and appeased the wrath of God. But I'm so thankful today. I'm not saying if you repent of your sin that you'll be stoned to death, because Jesus Christ in His grace bore your penalty and my penalty. It was me who mocked Him. It was me who spit in His face and slapped Him. It was me that nailed Him to the cross. My sin, your sin, put Him on the cross. But the most glorious news of all is that we don't have to keep that sin hidden. We don't have to be in bondage to it. We today can come and confess our sins to Him. And we can have liberation. Listen to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not within us. I've been brought here today to say there's sin in the camp. But the good news is that it doesn't have to be anymore. I pray that God's Spirit would move and that we'd realize that no, it can't be hidden. He's going to bring it to light. That we'll realize it is very, very costly, regardless of how small we think it is. The sin in the camp is costly. But to realize that He has grace extended to all of us because He paid the penalty for your sin. Christ Jesus wants to liberate you today. Christ Jesus wants to liberate this church today. He wants to wipe out the sin in this camp so that He might use us to bring glory and honor to the one and only one who deserves all glory and honor and praise. There's sin in the camp, but Christ is here. Will you hear Him? Will you respond? Let's pray.